This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
It's Monday, December 9th, and this is Season 4, Episode 17 of the Four Star Spurs Podcast. I'm your host today, Tommy. This week we have Nate.
Hey.
John.
Yesterday video, as always.
And we're producing today, newbie in the position, Kevin.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey. So...
it's our B team.
Yeah.
Except
for John.
Yeah, well...
got a bunch of idiots, you guys. It's going to be like herding cats tonight.
Trust me, it's true.
And for those who don't know, Anthony's actually on Vegas with his wife, Shannon. So if anybody's in Las Vegas listening, you might see him at the local bar. But Nate, we have an icebreaker for
our games. Kyle Mates, we got two questions because he's such a dedicated listener. He had a question regarding, kind of was related to the heavyweight title fight that happened. Joshua beat Ruiz this past Saturday. Yes. So Envy Joshua wants to set up a fight at the new Tottenham Stadium. Really cool. What two footballers would you like to see in a boxing match? Spurs or not Spurs? So I have an answer to this already. It kind of has to do with the game that happened today because it was Arsenal-West Ham, and you saw that only West Ham could be a team that would be able to fix Arsenal. We hadn't won for 2 months before tonight. But mine would be, because it's West Ham, my go-to fight would be Sissoko versus Noble, based off that challenge from a couple of years ago, because I feel like Sissoko would end his life, and it would just be funny. So that's my pick. What do you guys think?
Could you want to go?
Dyer and somebody? I don't know. I'd just like to see Dyer punch somebody. I think that would be fun.
No holds barred. You know, I will say this. There are times in certain games, and for rivalry games, obviously, and this is for any club, not just Tom, where I think, you know, maybe let them do it like hockey, just one time. Have a couple of guys just go at it, and then both be out for 10 minutes and let them back in after that.
If they could walk.
I
think what I'd like to see is I'd like to see some big strapping Tottenham player like Dyer beat the shit out of Ozil.
That'd be nice. Knock those eyes out.
How can you ghost
them?
Well, mine is not Spurs related, but I think, Kevin and Nate, you guys will enjoy it. It would be Zlatan, but versus Joey Barton.
Oh,
I think it would actually be kind of interesting.
Zlatan would have the
reach. You're not actually looking for a player you hate to get knocked out. You want like a good fight. So you're approaching this kind of in a different way.
Yes. I mean, if it was somebody that I hated, it would probably be John Terry, Ashley Young, or I don't know who else.
Ashley Young versus Dele Alli has some history. That'd be a decent.
Ooh, that would be nice. So
old versus young. It'd be a retiring match. Like if Dele beats Ashley, he can never play again.
Yeah, out of those two, those are my hated players I can think of. Probably, or Pepe. Actually, if Pepe could beat out.
I don't know. I wouldn't fuck with Pepe. not Arsenal Pepe, like
right.
Portugal Pepe.
I know, but I hate him so much. But if he did the job against John Terry or Ashley Young, some things might be forgiven.
It'd be tough to beat.
He'd be your guy, anyway.
Zlatan,
probably.
Zlatan is definitely your guy.
Yes. And for those
he's
who don't
got good reach, probably. Too.
And he's got a black belt in Taekwondo, so that's the other reason why I brought him up.
Of course he does. Like, absolutely, of course
totally
he
see
does.
That makes
actually,
sense.
The black belt was tied up around his waist. He didn't actually earn it, but.
That's a cop. You shouldn't have. Yeah, we could have. You would have had us going if you didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah. What are
you going to
do? Okay, so let's dive. We
won't
talk
about Spurs.
We won't.
Good idea.
So we're going to review two matches. The first one up in the first half is Man U. We lost 2-1. Dele Alli had a beautiful goal. There are some ups and downs, but the one thing that I want to discuss, Musa Sissoko said that Spurs ignored Jose Mourinho's tactics versus United. He said that they knew that they were going to play hard, but they scored anyway. So, I guess my first question is, I mean, aside from everything, is Jose getting the point across, or were the players too stubborn? I mean, because there was a few pockets of brilliance, but most of the game we just looked like shit.
Yeah, it's probably been the... it's definitely the worst we've looked under Jose. I was going to say that first few minutes against Olympiacos, or the first half against Olympiacos was pretty bad. But overall, this game, like you said, couple pockets of brilliance. I saw that quote from Sissoko, too. And that's kind of interesting because, you know, everybody thinks Poch lost the locker room and kind of put a lot of blame on him. But if they're already in one game not listening, it's a weird quote to come out and say.
Definitely.
Like, well, but it makes sense if because they lost.
Yeah.
Is he admitting the fact that, well, you know, we thought we knew better than him and we lost, so maybe we should listen to him next time?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think, well, I definitely agree with that because, well, Jose Mourinho is under the gun because Pochettino was well-beloved. I'm not sure by the press, but definitely by the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Sissoko's way of saving face a little bit. And him... and the squad shouldering the blame.
What's interesting is if you look at a lot of Mourinho's games in the past, it's usually the other way around. He will say something to be a distraction to take pressure off the player. So it was really interesting this first defeat. It was kind of the other way around with Sissoko. At the same time, I don't think it's a trend moving forward. I think it's more like a situation where you're still dusting the cobwebs of the mentality you were in under Pochettino, which is kind of mimics what we were hearing at the end from a lot of like the inside sources. I mean, there was a guy at The Athletic that wrote an article about how the players were kind of just getting sick of the message that Poch was putting out. So I think it's like you're still in that mentality a little bit because it is just been a couple of weeks since Mourinho's come in. And you need to change that mentality. And that's part of changing coach. We saw that when Pochettino started. And we weren't getting good. We had a couple of good games to start that season. A West Ham win, beat QPR like 4-0. And then we had a couple of bad home losses against Stoke, against West Brom, Newcastle. And it was like the same vibe as the Sherwood era in the end of ABB. And then we turned, flipped it back around as Poch got even more settled. So I hope the same thing happens with Marine.
Yeah, well, long term is going to be different from short term.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a pitcher change in there. Teams, and I mean, we've got a new manager. Everybody can get rid of any kind of the thing that's hanging over their head that they're pissed about with the manager for no matter what, and then they move on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I like what I've seen. If we're going to combine this with the Burnley, you know, you're saying that in about you're talking about the Man U game in a vacuum,
yeah.
And then we came back against Burnley, completely different team. So, as far as the Man U game was concerned. I didn't think the referee's decisions went exactly our way. I know that you can always complain about the guy in the middle, but that penalty was a bit odd, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it was disappointing as much as odd. I think because both goals that we gave up, even though I will admit, and it's safe to say that United were the better team on the night,
for sure.
But both goals we gave up were pretty weak. And even though the penalty was touch and go, the fact that they got in that position in the first place, I could see why it was given. And VAR is a crapshoot on penalties, so I'm not expecting any help there. But Sissoko was trailing back. It didn't look like Rashford was in the position where he was going to... We had it decently covered enough, I thought. Like, he wasn't being through on goal if there was no challenge made, he was going to score. So I was wondering, was it necessary to even make that challenge in the first place? And Rashford was smart, won it, and then made the penalty. And
yeah, he made the most of it. And then there's the other thing that I read in the press. I don't know how much truth there was to it, but that the team had been told that if they lost that night, then Solskjaer would be out.
Yeah,
oh, really? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, that's evidently pre-game talk. So if you put that in the mixer as well. And they had some incentive because I think the players do like it.
You're dead on with that, and that also, if you think about it, you mentioned the Spurs game in the vacuum. United not only beats us, they go on and beat City in the weekend and play. And I watched that game.
We're by far the better team.
He was locked down.
Juan Bissaka was. And I know this is not a United podcast, but I just mentioned like they bought him for like $70 million. And he hadn't looked like any good until the game against the best team they've come up against aside from Liverpool. He looked fantastic. So a couple of their players that have underperformed Fred in both games. We made Fred look like
world class.
I wouldn't say world class. We made him look way better than he is. And then he followed up. So you wonder if it was you part of United turning a quarter, and it's always going to be, we're always going to focus on our own team. But you always got to remember that United's not a bad batch of players. They dicked on Chelsea earlier in the year. So they always get up for the big games. It's been the other games that have been a problem for them. And so I wouldn't say, yeah, we do play well by any means, but I wouldn't look too much into this.
Yeah, I agree. It's a road game in the league against United. I mean, what else do you really kind of expect going into it?
Yeah, all travel is always
right. But it's very hard.
It doesn't happen all.
And like we've mentioned a ton of their players. We haven't even really mentioned Rashford. He's in form like crazy. So we kind of caught them at a really bad time to try and go there and win as well. I agree with you, Nathan. I'm not reading too much into it, especially since we came back and destroyed Burnley.
I do want to mention how sick was Dele's goal. Yeah. We didn't have a lot happen, but that moment, that was incredible.
He's just,
I think that
every game, he's doing something incredible. Like, it's
that touch, that was like Berbatov levels on control, putting it exactly where it needed to be, not too close to De Gea that he could come out and get it,
yeah,
and followed up on the volley. That was world class.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very, I mean, it wasn't a carbon copy, of course, but it was very reminiscent of his Crystal Palace goal, I would say, just with the volley.
Control.
And like, it was just a smooth, it was, aside from having the smooth move, it was just very cool, calm, collected. Like, you could tell that it was kind of similar, or mentality was similar with the West Ham goal on the sideline. Like, he didn't panic at all. It was just like one quick, easy motion. Like, it was no big deal. So,
yeah,
he's in general, he's playing like a champ.
Yeah, he's completely transformed.
Oh, my God.
What a difference.
It's night and day, and it does make you think, and I think we've covered this in past weeks, and I didn't listen all the way through last week, so I don't know if you covered it, because he did have a great game against Bournemouth as well, but it's moving him back to where he belongs.
Slightly behind
here. We had stuck him in the midfield, perhaps a couple injuries a lot last year. Even he was injured part of the time, too, let's not forget. But we would try to seemingly under Pochettino a lot of times during the season. Like, we forced Lucas and Kane to work together, and Lucas was behind Kane or played a striker and an interchange. And it never worked as well as what we've seen now. And it's, and we got to remember, when we were flying, this is what we were doing. It was Dele Alli either up with Harry Kane in that 3-5-2 kind of thing, or he was behind him in the 4-2-3-1. And we're doing that again, and it's made a world of difference. And you can tell he's up for it because he knows that he's going to be amongst the goals and the assists. And Mourinho is playing a talented player in the right position, the number 10, or is he his Lampard? Is he like doing
Deco or
his Deco exactly? And it's made a world of difference. Just to have a player who's had such a bad last year out of the England team, Dele Alli, to just almost flip a switch. And he's back to the best we're used to seeing him. But, his best.
I was going to say, this four games span? Yeah. Has been, I think that, has he had a better, he had that one other span where I think he scored like 4 goals in 2 games.
There was like a,
but there was never
there was a patch in 2016 when he first came on.
Yeah, but arguably this is the best 4 games I think I've seen him play.
For sure. Yeah, that's, that was what I was eventually going to get to. Like, yeah, he's just, and it's, as much as I love Poch, it's like really like a bad look for him right now to not have used Dele like this.
Well, I think
I don't want to shit on Poch, obviously, and turn it into that.
Neither do I, but I think that you've outlined, we all kind of know over the years one of Jose Mourinho's best strengths is man management. And I think, I know the sample size is small right now, but you can kind of tell based off of the past few weeks, like, while the players do love him and did probably still do in the past, like, when the chips are down, he was not that good with it this whole season, or one could argue this whole calendar year.
18 months, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, I mean, thankfully, Levy made the right decision thus far, so I mean that's impressive. But I mean, let's see if we can sustain it, whether it be with new signings, if we're lucky in January, or see how it goes next season. Because I've told a few people, I mean, I still expect a lot of turnover. So
yeah.
But anybody
have any,
anybody have any finalizing thoughts before we go to MVP, LVP?
No, nothing that can't be explained then.
Cool. Who wants to go first for MVP?
I will. I mean, Dele.
Sure. Yeah, is anybody going to say?
I think that's going to be unanimous.
Yeah.
Dele, three in a row.
Yeah,
four
Dele.
Row. Four row.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think you could even make a case for anybody else that I can think of.
No.
No, the team didn't play particularly well.
Right.
Dele had a great game.
It's going to be completely different when we talk about Burnham.
Oh, yeah.
but let's do LVP first. I'll just go first. I'll say Winks, even though he tried well, but I'm like, just him, Sissoko. I mean,
you could have picked either, really.
Yeah. I don't know, for me, and I think John and Kevin might have heard me, but I've said it a few times, when he was playing, he got himself into a lot of those bad situations. So that's why I think he's my LVP personally. But
we talk about Dele Alli's form being very, very good at the moment. At the same time, I'd say the exact opposite has happened for Harry Winks.
Yeah,
he was decent in the West Ham game, but I thought in the Olympiacos game, he was more at fault for our problems than Eric Dier was, and that the tactical substitution was to keep a more attacking-based midfield to get back into the game rather than subbing off the worst player. And then he didn't play, or he didn't start in the Bournemouth game. He came on later, and when he came on later, we looked not as good. And then we saw this day. The problem was, not only was it frustrating to hear what Sissoko said in his quotes, it was, I think just about everyone saw that lineup when it was Sissoko and Winks in the midfield, and it's like, we know this doesn't work.
Yeah.
We've seen it a lot. Apparently, we had used that lineup, that midfield, six times this season. We've only won once with it.
I didn't realize that stat was so glaring.
It was the only game that worked was the Pals game. So that's not a good sign. And so I was kind of like, Marina, what are you doing? And hopefully he won't do it again because it didn't work. They don't know how to play with each other. Neither of them are really a true defensive midfielder, so it makes the defense have less cover behind the ball. And you saw that. You saw indecisiveness. You saw bad turnovers. You saw bad passing. It wasn't fluid. It didn't work. And it's something we're kind of grown accustomed to. So we knew about it. Maybe Marino didn't. Hopefully he knows now. But
yeah,
I would say you can make a case for either Winks and Sissoko being able to be up and open.
Sure.
The midfield was the source of our problem.
Well, I think it would be easy to pick them, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Gazinga. You should have had Rashford's goal.
I thought he made up for it with a couple saves down the road, but you're absolutely right. That was a very soft goal.
We've had periods in a time where we know the goalkeeper's going to give up one goal a game.
Yeah.
And we, under Lloris, that hasn't been the case. It was disappointing, I think, that he did not get down. I mean, that
no.
It was short sight.
Near post like that should never go in.
And he got a hand.
I mean, it did take a bounce right before it got to him, which made it a little difficult. But
he
100% should probably make the save. We were talking in the bar. It was like, if he was a hockey goalie, he would have just stuck his right leg out, and it would have been easy.
Yeah.
Like, but you never see a keeper in soccer do that. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously because like,
well, you never.
What do you do after that?
You never know where the ball's going to go.
Back up. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, but that would be a But definitely. Probably should have made the save there. I agree with Nathan. The midfield in general, neither of them were worth much to me. And it's weird because hasn't Jose said like he sees Sissoko as being a and then he just immediately brings him in and plays him as a midfielder? But I don't know. I guess it was maybe looking towards the weekend some.
Yeah.
But you would have thought he would have put the United game over the weekend.
Right, and at the same time, we were wondering where Ndombele was. I don't know if he was hurt during that, or we knew he was hurt already during that game. It came out later than he was. Lo Celso is a midfielder. He could play there. Still not really getting much of a run in the team. So
but
it was confusing.
He has said that it's going to take him a while. So
that perplexes me in other ways, I guess. But
I mean when you come to another
league. Yeah, we're talking about LVPs.
Yeah, that's true.
Finish that one.
Thank you for
giving
us on.
Well, so next up, we'll talk about Burnley. We've won 5-0. I would say we had at least three out of those five goals were beautiful. But let's segue that in with, from Man U to Burnley. So we had a question from our own Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony, always thinking about the job, sent us a question. Mr. Negativity here asks, sorry. Despite the impressive win against Burnley at home, is there any lingering concern about Spurs' road form under Mourinho, which hasn't been fixed yet? Is it concerning he couldn't get Spurs up to face his former employer? Can Spurs compete with teams with the firepower of United? What the fuck? I love you, buddy, but it's been two games.
I was going to say, he's played two road games and he's won one and lost one.
He's won one and lost one. The firepower of United, like, we didn't see what we could do on the weekend. I mean, we got the firepower to keep up with anybody. It's more about our defense and midfield than the problems, but just chill. Just chill. Yeah. For a moment.
Yeah, I think it's far too early to be.
Yeah, if we
start stirring stuff up like that, you sound like the English press.
We'd have to lose like three in a row from here on the road
against
for me
bad
to start.
Teams,
right?
Too.
Yeah, like losing to United, a team who's ahead of us on the table at their place. I mean,
it wasn't like they blew us out.
Right.
Well, it was 2-1.
And they needed a penalty.
Well, they're only ahead of us on the table because they beat. If we'd have beaten them, we would be ahead of them.
Yeah. For arguments. Yeah. I mean, like you guys said, the sample size is too small. But I would say, what, we're playing against Wolves. Next week games are Wolves, Norwich, and Southampton. For argument's sake, if we lost those,
we lost all three of those.
I mean, it's the Wolves.
Wolves
is
hard.
A different story, but it's definitely Southampton, Norwich. I'm like, okay, Southampton, Norwich, and then Middlesbrough. We lost those three games in a row. Then I'd be like, okay, Anthony, you have a cause for concern. But
that's a month away.
It's going to be interesting to see how they do against them, because Southampton and Norwich are, you know,
they're fighting
absolutely
for their lives.
Fighting for their lives. Yeah. And Wolves have a good team this year.
Yeah.
And they've been in really good form as
Like they say, Letterkenny, let's pump the brakes on this and
get back.
We'll
to
worry about it if it happens. We'll
worry about it when we need to worry.
Yeah. We're turning a new leaf right now, so it's okay. But
let's talk about Burnley.
Because
that's the fun
part. That's the fun part, right? Yeah. I feel terrible.
Because none of us were at the bar.
None of us were there.
Don and I were.
Tommy was the only one that. Did you go? You were at the Christmas party. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you stay out?
I'm sorry.
Did you go to the?
No, I went home after you guys. After we parted ways.
I don't remember. 12:30. Okay, so you were out until basically only four of us continued after that.
Yeah,
and we just went back to Shannon's.
Yeah.
I didn't go because I wanted to be on top four to watch the match.
Yeah, I ended up not getting home until like 2:30 and was like, my wife's going to murder me if I try to get up and go to the bar right now. So instead, I just watched
it
at home.
It's a good decision, probably.
And maybe you had tortellini and...
We got drunk at 2 in the morning and made tortellini.
And the cordless... you uncovered your roommate's cordless vacuum.
Yeah, I forgot I told you about that. When you're really drunk, walking home to this amazing cordless new vacuum is a wonderful sight. Like, we have carpet in the basement area. I live in a two-flat apartment. And the bathroom we had just wasn't cutting it. So get home, and then I was just vacuuming at 2 in the morning and my roommate was trying to sleep.
No, probably not the right thing. I don't know how I could have stood, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to use a cordless vacuum cleaner or am I going to watch Spurs play? I don't know how you...
That was the night before.
What a tricky
decision.
I was
way too hard to move in the morning. Which, it was disappointing because I missed the best game we played all season.
Yeah. Well, I watched.
And to go back to the vacuum analogy, that sucked.
But it was a fun one to watch. I was watching it in bed with my 2-year-old climbing all over me, and throwing her up in the air every time we scored, so she was enjoying that.
It,
yeah, she had fun.
Was she playing with any of the balls that I gave her?
She plays with them all the time.
Nice.
I got a big box from Amazon. She uses it as her goal, and she kicks them in. It's awesome.
I'm glad to see my gifts are still being put to good use.
Yeah. Anyways, back to Burnley, because we're just talking about vacuums and 2-year-olds kicking soccer balls.
Well, the game was great, and I was watching it without a hangover.
So you probably have the clearest mind of us all.
I don't know about that, but I certainly had a clear mind, and clearly the game, I think, was one of the best performances we've had of the year. I don't know whether or not you can say that Burnley were that bad. Historically, they haven't been that great, but they haven't been that bad. I certainly didn't anticipate 5-0.
No.
My prediction was 2-0.
I actually had a – sorry to interject, but I saw a quick – or a note on the BBC's website. Jose Mourinho has never lost against Burnley.
Yeah, I saw that.
So,
yeah.
Like, in the spring, you should hedge your bets and keep going for that W.
Well, it helps them. It's Burnley.
And they're, like, not very good right now.
But to be fair, I mean, we beat them on a last-minute goal at Wembley last year. It was Eriksen right to death. And we lost to them at their place.
Yeah,
I think they outplayed us in, and they've been annoying. I wouldn't say they've been better than us consistently, but they've been annoying. We haven't like walked the grill.
Yeah, they got the last minute winner at Wembley 2-3 years ago.
It was a draw, last minute draw.
Yeah,
Chris Wood.
That was on my daughter's birthday. Like, I saw that, and then my wife came downstairs and was like, "We got to go to the hospital." And I was like, "This isn't starting off as on a good foot today." But it turned out all right.
So. Yeah, good.
But, I mean, we took our chances, too.
Yes.
I mean, three of those goals were excellent, excellent, excellent goals that perhaps you wouldn't have expected. It's certainly based on the on so far this season. So you take those three out, we beat them 2-0.
Even then,
you know, life was – that's a pretty good result. But yeah. We had three exceptional strikes, and it turned into 5.
What's your favorite –
it's my favorite
of the day.
I mean, you got to come down to it. It's either Harry's first or Son.
Yeah, agree.
I honestly like Harry's first more.
Me too.
Because it was out of nothing.
I think whoever the commentator was said his foot was like a sledgehammer or something.
Ooh,
and that was exactly what it was. Because it just he marking. Swung his leg around and just fucking it was a laser.
I mean, he's been up and down all season. You say a lot of it maybe has to do with being so isolated in the way that he played under Poch in the bad times. But and people have kind of said, oh, he's a tapping merchant. He hasn't been playing, and even when he's been scoring, it's not been looking his best. He hasn't really dictated the game. To come in and just like whack it like that, like no problem, and to the point where like no one's really even talking about that one because of the Sun goal.
Yeah.
But that one was just even more impressive. And it just shows that, yeah, he's still Harry Kane. He can kind of put it on whatever he wants.
Yeah, I don't think it was more impressive. I think that more impressive than the Sun goal.
Mm.
I do think that it was unusual for Kane to hit it from outside the box. He hit it beautifully. Could other players have done that? Yes, I think they could. That's the difference. I think as far as the Sun goal is concerned, I don't think there's anybody in the league that has the speed and the control that Son does to be able to,
yeah, those
to
two
go
touches.
Through maybe seven Mane. People.
And, yeah, Mane.
You know, Mane probably is the only one. Not even Salah would do that from the whole length of the pitch.
No. So that's why I would pick the Son goal over the Kane goal. But I think you certainly have a good point with Kane, and it's interesting that we're talking about two Tottenham goals and which one's better than the other when they both were superb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have we done that recently?
Yeah.
How many times have we scored more than two goals?
Yeah.
Aside from under Mourinho. But, yeah, the Sun goal. I don't think I've ever seen us do that
ever.
Since Bale, maybe.
Yeah.
Since that Bale one against Norwich, where he kind of just
went down,
Norwich away. That was kind of the beginning of him just Bale 1-0 wins over and over and over again that we had at the end of that season. But other than that, I couldn't think of, other than Ginola, maybe a player that Tottenham had that could do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether everybody was thinking the same thing that I was, but when he broke away, okay, it was good. And then when he got into the other half, he pushed it, and my immediate reaction was he's pushed that too far. And
then he
picked it up again.
It's another gear. That was third gear.
Just unbelievable because I think he did push it a bit further than he wanted to, but he was able to adapt.
Yeah.
And then the shot was superb.
Yeah, the two touches, that's just like, it's hard to even wrap your head around being able to do that when it's that crowded, too. Like, it wasn't like he took on two guys. He took on, like, eight or nine of the Burnley guys. He went past all of them.
Even at midfield, there were about 6 or 7 guys around him, and he didn't even care. He just kept going.
That's, like, the number one thing I've seen from other teams, like, trying to, like, deflate how good it was. Why didn't Burnley just foul him? Like,
They couldn't catch
him. Yeah, because he was fucking past every one of them. Like, it was fucking nuts.
And I saw this on Facebook today by the Spurs visual Facebook.
Whoever's running the Twitter, by the way.
Yeah, excellent. Top notch.
Really? Oh, I obviously. But, no, but they did a parody of Sonic the Hedgehog with the whole rings. I'm like, that sounds weird, but it actually kind of sums up that whole run because he's just like beating everybody, evading, right, getting the rings, found that path, and then boom, gets that goal. But, yeah, like, are you saying whether it be Ginola or whoever, it's like, I don't know, besides Sun, like, if Rafael Vandervaart was actually had speed, he might have been the only other contender besides those two. But I'm like, yeah, that's,
he didn't have speed when he was with us.
Though. No, that's what I'm saying. No. If he had any,
it's just 60 minutes.
Yeah, but I'm like, yeah, let's enjoy this.
Yeah, the whole run, I was yelling at him to pass because I've said this in the last couple pods. Like, Sun has been extremely selfish, and I don't have a problem with it because he's been fantastic, but he doesn't look to pass ever.
And you know the weird thing about this is I totally agree with you a lot, and yet he's like he leads us in assists. Do you know that?
Which anytime he has the ball anywhere near the box, he's trying to take somebody on is what you like remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you think of Sun, it's him trying to take somebody on and skin him. But wow, yeah,
but he's successful when he tries.
100%. That's why I have no problem with him doing it.
Like, He also got an assist in that game. He had to pass to Harry Kane for the first goal. But it's just weird that way. He also kind of made the second goal as well with that run. Harry was offside. He kept going, chased the ball, lopped it up in the box, and it went off Dele's head, and Lucas tapped it in. But he made that goal too, if we're honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think that a lot, but he's actually become a more of an assist machine under Mourinho than I thought would be because I guess the reality is different than what we see sometimes. And then, let's not forget, Moussa Sissoko scored again.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Again.
Moussa Sissoko.
Two goals this month.
Two goals.
You should have been at the bar for that because everybody's like telling him to shoot and he dishes it off.
Well, he hit the post earlier in the match. And it was almost like the same goal. Him kind of starting to move and then running from deep. And that was actually the same goal that he got in the Bournemouth game. And it's interesting because he never used to make those runs with Pochettino.
No, that's right. And, you are right. In the bar, any time he got the ball 3 yards inside their half, we were yelling at him to shoot. In fact, I was.
What a legend.
But yeah, no, it's Yaya Toure-esque, dare I say?
I'll reserve my judgment until he does a long range screen.
People were pronouncing his Tottenham career dead after United away. Remember that. People were. People slayed him probably more than they slayed Winks. To be fair, you probably can make that argument. They were both equally shit. But he bounces back when he's got a Dyer there. And I don't want to go under said. This was Dyer's best game, I think, in the last year plus. Or at least, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
So it was really good having him there against kind of large potato men at Burnley. So it was, it allowed maybe
well, some sort of large potato men.
They're very lumpy.
Okay. Oh, I was like, I didn't know where you were going with that.
Plan for Spuds.
No, dude, I find the whole Spuds thing very strange and cringy, to be honest. Like,
you're not alone.
What's the problem with potatoes? Like, why is that supposed to insult me when you call my team potatoes?
It's like you can boil.
I mean, you just kind of insulted somebody by calling him a potato man.
Yeah, but it's about this.
That was more of a descriptor.
It's kind of just wordplay that doesn't mean it.
Right.
There's no meaning under the Spuds. Like, what does that fucking mean?
Their brains are mashed.
Anyway. Yes. Sorry to interrupt, but yes.
All I'm saying is,
go fried.
Winks is the real problem. And if we get rid of Winks forever, all of our problems will be solved. Okay, no, not
that. This is kind of weird coming from you. You used to be a big Winks guy.
I was, honestly. I think he's really just in a bad passion. We haven't found out how to utilize him.
That's what I'm thinking.
It might be that he just doesn't fit.
Maybe not.
What, like, I mean,
well,
I love him. Like, well, he came up, but it's hard to fit him in.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, as it, like, Rick thinks he has no future at Spurs, but or he's not talented, but I think if he pairs up with Dyer and plays a little forward, I'd like to see how that goes.
I mean, he
did. That's what we played in the West End game. It was okay, but he has this propensity to
give the ball away.
It's like he doesn't, he's not confident in himself to go forward as much as we need him to.
And he has been before.
Right, like against Madrid.
Even the Barcelona game when he made that tackle on Messi and he looked pretty good in that game.
It's like, is all this since the really bad ankle injury or whatever it was?
No, I mean,
or
was this that, has been past. This has been after that.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah,
it's like since then.
He's
been
playing for England, too, so I'm like,
he scored a goal for England. So I don't really believe that. I think maybe it's just that he's not – he's a guy that can be like a metronome for a team, but he's not a recycled – which is – I guess that is recycled possession, but it's not –
he's
defensive.
Like Javi.
It's not he's not defensive enough to play alongside Sissoko and have a good midfield that can hold on to the ball.
Well, certainly Sissoko and Winks doesn't work.
No,
yeah.
We know.
And
that.
I don't know whether that whose fault that is.
And I know I'm not necessarily sure that Sissoko and or that Winks and Ndombele would work either,
because Ndombele wants to go forward.
Ndombele wants to go forward too, and Winks isn't defensive enough to have that. And you saw it with Sissoko as well, because even in the midfield, Sissoko still helps Aurier out. Just because I think we figured out, Aurier, you're not really going to be that great at defending. You know that. But going forward, you're still really, really helpful. So we're going to do that for now. Sissoko can still cover him. And with Sissoko being able to cover him and Dyer still back there, that's a good enough defense to kind of cover that. But Winks can't be that guy. And so even then, so we need kind of a true defensive midfielder. And that's kind of par for the course with Mourinho as well.
How do we get onto talking negatively when we're talking about the
Burnley
game, which was
I brought up Wings. I'm sorry.
But
this was the thing. People were talking about Sissoko being dead, but it was Sissoko and Dyer pairing worked really well, and Dyer was allowed to be that defensive guy and win challenges and get the ball back. He did give one turnover, which is annoying, but overall it was the best game I think we've seen him over a year, and that's really promising going forward, because if we can have our defensive midfield position sorted. That's our back four kind of sort, back five sorted. And that's really important, because we haven't had defensive stability, even in lineups. It's not been good.
Yeah.
We've also been changing it constantly. To have that, put on that performance, get that clean sheet that we've been desperately needing for a long time, is so important. It's almost as important as the world-class goals we scored.
Fair enough.
Okay.
But on that note, let's do MVP. Who's up?
Son.
Anyone disagree?
There were so many good performances. Even Dele,
if you saw,
was like when he got subbed, he like slammed his cleats on the ground.
He's always pissed when he comes off.
He got two assists though.
Yep.
Like he wasn't as good as everybody else, but he was still excellent. Everybody was great. I would agree. I'd say it was still Son. Son had the goal, the assist. He drove with them tremendously. He drove with them constantly. That's what you love to see.
Yeah.
So you
agree with me, it just takes you much longer than it took.
Yeah. Well, we gotta milk this. We got only four people here. I'm trying to fill in for
we're still at 30 seconds, so it's okay. But Kevin, what do you got?
I'm gonna say Harry, just because we haven't seen a performance like that out of him in a long time. He got the first one, which we harp on this podcast constantly about trying to get early goals against shit teams. And I mean, obviously, Son is in there, but I'm gonna pick Harry just to be different.
I don't actually disagree though to a certain extent, because he actually played well in the forward role, but in midfield he played well.
Had some ridiculous that pass to Son.
Aurier.
Oh God. Ugh.
That was amazing.
Ugh. It was a beautiful.
Okay then.
You're having a bit of an episode.
Yeah, and but I mean, you could name almost anybody on the pitch, really. Mm-hmm. I mean. Everybody played well.
This leads into my or to LVP then, because I can't. I'm putting nobody because I think. Yeah. It was a dominant game, but I'm like nobody stood out as shit.
Who did you pick?
Nobody
MVP?
Deserves to be the LVP. Okay.
In a 5-0 game, we should make a rule: if we beat a team 4-0 plus, there's no LVP. Because there shouldn't be.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Okay. So
also, props to Sanchez against the blocking shot with his head.
Oh, and that was we didn't talk about that. That was crucial. We were only up
2-0.
If they get that, who knows what
they had a bit of a spell, but
and I mean that was going in. Mm-hmm. I don't think Gazzaniga had it, and if it wasn't for King Dave's big old forehead,
Davidson Schwartz.
That's my nickname.
Yes, that's what, okay.
Davison Schwartz.
Yeah, what was going through my mind when we were 3-0 up is let's not give up 2 goals.
Right.
That's because I had a mind, unlike you guys who hung over.
I was a zombie when cheering that.
Okay, so that's going to wrap up the first half. Second half, we got 4 more questions. Then we're going to preview Bayern Munich and Wolves at the weekend. But right now, we have my back page update and Catherine's Lady Spurs update as well.
Support for 4-Star Spurs comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Don't lie to yourself. There's been a few times where you've hurt yourself down there. Even I had this issue. I was preparing for a hot date and, well, I had to tell her I was washing my hair that night. That's why this revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned this electronic trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so the trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 2.0 comes inside their Perfect Package 2.0, which makes the perfect gift for this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smell like a freshly cut Christmas tree down there. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just fucking disgusting. The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why aren't you putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Speaking of sweaty and stinky balls, I'm thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps your balls from sweating, smelling, and even sticking. And these products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean. The perfect package will come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep your junk smelling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxer briefs. Tis the season for Manscaped, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and your friends the best gift of all. The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BIGHEADS at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGHEADS, BIGHEADS, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code BIGHEADS. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
Tommy, and this is your back page update. According to De Telegraph, we have failed in our attempts to sign Ajax midfielder Donny van de Beek. Instead, he's holding out for a switch to Real Madrid. The quoted price is approximately £60 million. Well, this is a crushing blow to my hopes and dreams. Yes, playing for Real Madrid would be a dream for lots of players. I was hoping that Jose Mourinho would have increased our chances, and the possibility of more playing time would have helped our cause as well. Multiple sources claim that manager Jose Mourinho sent Spurs scouts to watch Roma striker Edin Dzeko in preparation of the January transfer window. It's alleged that Jose Mourinho wants to ease the burden off of Harry Kane. I don't disagree with this move, as Harry Kane is the only viable striker option now. We have been relatively lucky with having one true striker for a while. My only issues are, will Dzeko be willing to play backup? And will Daniel Levy be willing to pony up the money to land him? The Sun believes that Spurs have joined in the race against Arsenal and Manchester United or the signing of Juventus center back Mary Demiral. I'm a little surprised at this rumor since he just signed for Juventus this summer. Yes, we do face the prospect of needing center backs. Even though he has played sparingly for Juventus thus far, I'm still skeptical on the move, even though he has great potential. I'm Tommy, and this is your back page update.
Hi, Spurs family. I'm Catherine, and I'm back with your Spurs Women segment. And now let's get to the goods. Spurs Women played Bristol City away in the league on October 27th, with the result going Tottenham's way with a 2-1 win, thanks to a Kit Graham brace. Then, on November 3rd, Spurs grabbed a 3-0 win, with goals from Anna Philby, Kit Graham, and Lucy Quinn in the Continental League Cup against Crystal Palace. Next up was an international break with defender Hannah Godfrey getting her first call-up to the Scotland national team, and while she was at it, grabbing a debut goal on November 8th, and Lucia Leon receiving her first call-up to the Spain under-23 team. Meanwhile, Rhea Percival was with the New Zealand Fern setup, Rachel Furness joined up with the Northern Ireland squad for Euro 2021 qualifiers, and Anna Philby, Josie Green, and Megan Wynn were named to the Wales team. It should be noted that, although she did not get the award, Kit Graham had been nominated in November for the October PFA Fans Player of the Month award. And then back to the matches. To date, November 17th will go down in history as the first ever Women's North London Derby to be played at White Hart Lane. Although Arsenal defeated Tottenham with a quite flattering scoreline of 2-0, those 38,262 people at the stadium were part of a record attendance number for the Women's Super League, and most importantly, the fans could see the growing quality that Spurs women have. Next up was a Continental League Cup match against Chelsea on November 20th. Unfortunately, another defeat awaited as Spurs lost 5-1. Then another match in the league, but the first ever meeting against Everton on November 24th was another loss with a 3-1 result. Recently, on December 4th, Spurs played Birmingham City to a 1-1 draw. Meanwhile, on the 8th of December, Spurs grabbed a 1-0 win against Brighton. And then looking ahead to Wednesday, December 11th, Spurs hosts Lewes for a Continental League Cup match. But now for the upcoming league matches. Spurs end December by playing Reading on the 15th with a break of a few weeks after. Spurs then kick off 2020 with a home match at the Hive on January 5th against Manchester City and another home match on the 12th of January against West Ham. Both of those January home matches will be followed up by an away match against Manchester United on January 19th. And for a quick look at the table now, Spurs women are right in the thick of things, sitting in 6th out of 12 teams after 9 matches. They're on 13 points with 4 wins, 1 draw, and 4 losses. But that's it for me this time. As always, if you have any Spurs or Spurs women related questions, shoot them over to me on Twitter to my personal handle, at Catherine Rupp, or hit up 4-Star Spurs on Twitter or Facebook. Come on, you Spurs.
All right, thank you to me, and thanks again for Catherine. We haven't heard you for a while, but glad you're back on. And
happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. And for those, if anybody's in Munich on Wednesday, she will be at the match. So say hi to her and Catherine, of course. Spread the good news. But first of all, to break the ice for the second half. Nate, we have 2 questions regarding transfers, so go ahead.
Yeah, we have, just to follow up your back page update, we had 2 questions on transfers, one from Dan Walsh, who asked, with Youssef Atal out injured now, who should we sign as a right back? And then Kyle asked another question that is, do you think the Mourinho hiring positively or negatively affects our player recruitment? So I can start with Dan's question. Youssef Atal is a very high prospect who plays for Nice, if you didn't know. And he's been tearing it up for them. And he had a really bad knee injury and was carted off at the weekend. And we had kind of been linked with him. I don't think anything specifically concrete, but as it's a position of need for us, his name was floated around by a lot of people. Doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon, unfortunately. As far as right back goes, I know we're looking at, is it Nathan Ferguson?
Oh, from West Brom.
From West Brom, yes. Yeah. That's a guy we've been linked, I think, more concretely than we ever linked with Atal. I think that would be a more direction we probably, regardless of injury, most likely go. But I, even with these scenarios, I do not see us moving for right back in January.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, anybody we've been linked to in the past, like, who knows now? Jose's been here for 2 weeks. It's not like any new rumor has popped up since then, at least not
that
I know.
There were a couple. There was, but they all were kind of just done or kind of
declined by Dan Kilpatrick, or he kind of said they were all bullshit.
Yeah.
It was like Koulibaly and Napoli would be awesome. Jaco as a backup to Kane. Also, not the worst idea.
As right back is concerned, what happened to Walker Peters?
Yeah, think hopefully we'll see him in Germany. But you think with a new coach, he might have a pathway back?
Yeah, and then was it Kyle Mates?
Yeah.
Was the other question? I think it's going to be a little bit of both, maybe. I think some players will be put off from Jose, but I think a ton of players are going to want to play for him, especially if he continues the path that he's on right now, the trajectory and everything of the humbled one, or whatever the hell everybody's calling him.
If he's still here in 18 months, I believe that.
So yeah.
That's where I'm at with it. But you did bring up a good point. I think we saw Lo Celso and maybe even Ndombele to an extent. They came here from Pochettino. Definitely. That was a huge factor in them coming here. Not just that we were kind of an up-and-up team, but that they had a really very kind of highly rated, and at the time it was playing very well. Well, actually not really, but he had a good track record at least, of kind of building up young players. And they both get here, none of them really get off to a good start, and all of a sudden he's gone. And Mourinho, in the past, people will come because of him. Players, not everyone, obviously. He's gotten to fights with people like Ozil and Pogba. But there's guys like Zlatan who always sticks up for him. Tommy, you can probably talk about that even further.
Yeah, I both love each other. And that's the reason why I went to Man United, from what I read. So, I mean, I've been clamoring for this because
I'm thinking he's going
to
get him.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest reason. But kind of what I said about Dzeko, I think it's similar to Zog's. Like, would he be willing to play second fiddle to Harry Kane? I don't know. Rumors have been saying he's going to go back to AC Milan. But who knows? I think Dzeko would still be a very good option. But, like, I kind of said this, or I said this about Donny van de Beek, I think having Mourinho is a good idea, or will provide leverage for the squad, just because they know he's a proven winner. A lot of young players would, I think, like whether it be Modric in the past, Kevin Prince Boateng, Kyle Walker, etc., they came here, a lot of it was partially stepping stone and to build up their personal profile, but I think the players that we want to bring in now, they want to know if they're going to win trophies or something's going to mount to it.
He's a winner.
Exactly, and I said this last week, he's won everywhere he's been, whether it be Porto, Chelsea, Real Madrid, Man United. So, I mean, if you look at the squad that we have and the probability with Jose Mourinho, I would be inclined to believe that we're going to win a trophy.
Well, yeah, and he doesn't go after guys who are trying to use him as a stepping stone either.
Right.
So,
bring it for Lane.
Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about that.
I would be,
because I kind of hate him.
I would
like a lot.
I would allow. I would say, let's see, and
it would be expect so, it
not to work out for too long.
Hopefully,
but it would kind of be hilarious. So I would be okay with
I'd
it.
Only accept him if he had short hair, because then he'd be like a different Fellaini.
No, he was already. Oh,
yeah,
the
he
Giants
cut his,
are doing well. I think.
Yeah, he did cut his hair at the end of his time at United, right?
So, well, if he's got the afro,
his power away.
Well, if he's got the afro, I'm saying cornrows or bust.
No, I say embrace the afro and love it. And give me big haired Fellaini with Dyer in the midfield, 1-0 Tottenham every game. No, I don't think that's happening anyway. But I would say it's definitely more positively affecting us than negatively. I think no one doesn't want to play for Mourinho. They might get into the team and not like how it turns out. But everywhere he's gone, he's been able to get people. Now, maybe he's had more money in those scenarios than Levy will let us have.
Maybe.
But I expect us to make moves in the summer. And we know where we need to make moves. Center back, midfield, right back, left back probably too. Our front is fine. So yeah. I don't think we have to worry about them at all.
I think we're going to sign anybody up front. It's going to be for depth. Because
no one that's going to come in, but we're not going to spend like 50 plus million.
No, but I mean, if we sign like somebody for like 20 some million, 20, like a budding youth player, I think that seems apropos. Yeah. But if not, we might sign somebody to replace Erickson because, I mean, as much as I love Lamella.
His name's Dele Alli.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, if you think about it, we talked a lot about Erickson being the glue to having our front work. When he wasn't on, we wouldn't be on. Well, now he's not even in the team, and we look better than ever against Burnley. So that really kind of proves that was incorrect. Maybe that was a feature on the Pochettino.
Yeah, I think
but we've been able to kick on without him.
Yeah.
Well, we're not playing with an expectation that it's going to change when he comes on, because there hasn't been any difference when he's come on.
Well, maybe it would be Ocas game, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, he's been shit.
That's what I was saying a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Nice about it. I've said
I'm done being nice about Erickson.
I've said my piece on Erickson. I kind of like with Pochettino, you know, I don't want to rehash it again just because it's so redundant. But let's move on to Wednesday's match, December 11th. It's against Bayern Munich. It'll be played at the Allianz Arena. Thank you. It is 2 p.m. local time. We'll be on Bleacher Report Live. 8 p.m. UK time will be on BT Sport 2. As of right now, the standings are set in stone.
Bayern as Munich, of now? That means that you just...
Until the end of the standings will be set in stone even after the match is played, let's just say.
In other words, this game doesn't matter.
Exactly, which brings the point, Jose Mourinho did say, Troy Parrott, Ryan Sessegnon, Kyle Walker-Peters, they will start.
And skip.
Oh, it's
good. He didn't say that they would start. He said that they would play.
They would go.
Okay, though.
And that Harry Kane would not.
Yeah. Oh, he said he's going to keep multiple guys back home to just be in training.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't need to risk anybody for this game.
Yeah. Exactly. Play the under 23s.
Play Whiteman and goalkeeper. Play Kyle Walker-Peters. Play that Sirkin kid, the 17-year-old left back, unless you want to play Danny Rose. I'm pretty sure Danny Rose is kind of done, the top one player. But
I think he may get a run out on Wednesday. Really like to see Parrott.
Yes.
We
didn't even mention his debut against Burnley.
Well, and
he got the game ball too. And he had some words room. So
yeah, it seems like
sounds promising.
There was a story out today talking about that Jose is really impressed with Parrott and that he's going to keep. They were talking. The article was talking about loaning guys out, and that Parrott was definitely not on the list to be loaned out because Jose is very, which leads us to believe we don't need to spend 20 or 30 million dollars on a striker.
So I guess we're not going to get Zlatan or Dzeko.
No, I do.
I mean, imagine, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, that's not the sound a parrot makes.
I'd still rather go with the community references, but I'll let that slide. Troy Barnes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I watched the show.
But, I mean, okay, so aside from those four players, I mean, do you think I think Taganga is probably going to at least travel.
Erickson travels in place.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah. I mean, Whiteman, I don't think he's going to start, but he's definitely going to be on the bench because
we didn't feel Vorm, like that we got.
Yeah, well, Vorm is injured. Hugo, you know, he's out till January.
Yeah, but if we put Whiteman in, who's going to be on the bench? Or so?
Gazzaniga?
We have a. I don't know. I wonder if that other. What's the other keeper? Brandon Austin?
Austin. Isn't he on loan?
No, but he was injured. But I don't think it was too serious. I thought Whiteman was on the bench. We're down to our fifth keeper if Gazzaniga got hurt.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so.
Vorm's still hurt.
Back or not. Vorm is definitely still hurt.
That's amazing that we signed him and he just gets hurt.
Just like he did when we had him before.
Got signed up for health insurance. Like, respect.
Yeah, he was just playing too much in his man cave with his, 50 Xboxes.
We did need him, though. I'm
yes, 100%.
We did not need him. I'd rather have him be off the bench than a white man who's never played.
It's very Tottenham. We sign our backup, or we sign a third keeper because our world class keeper breaks his fucking arm in a crazy incident, and then he just immediately gets injured.
Yeah, but that's what happened the last time when Lloris was hurt and he was number two, he got injured.
Yeah.
And that's how he now is our number two. So
exactly.
Things work. Maybe Austin and Whiteman are both legendary.
We'll
be the first team to play two goalkeepers since this is the best season for the Buffs just so bad.
Like those Japanese kids where they couldn't keep a goal out. You don't remember?
No.
No.
It was like 100 Japanese kids against three Japanese internationals.
They did that with Deli and
Lamella or something.
I think it was Lamella, Deli, and Kane or something like that.
Lamella would have side tackled the kids though, so I don't know if they'd let him on the pitch.
Imagine if Jim Baylor was there,
just buying little kids.
Taking them all away from 100 children.
He could.
We need to find that video again. That actually happen.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, no, we definitely did it. So they didn't even win. I think
if you find it, definitely send it to Kevin so he can post it on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay.
But okay. So in general, we're not going to do predictions yet, but we're not going to lose 7-2. I don't think. But I mean.
It doesn't matter if we do. That's the good thing.
We also don't know what kind of team they're going to put out. I mean, they have no incentive to not play the reserve.
And they're
in a fucking fight.
They're in a dogfight for the league right now. Yeah.
They don't
the top like seven teams are all like within a few points of each other.
That's the point, Tommy. They fired their manager before we even fired Pochettino after beating us 7-2. That's how bad they've been in the league. And they don't have a replacement. And it's not going to be Poch. They come out and said it's not going to be. So I don't know who it will be for them eventually, but they have a kind of interim guy as well. Again, they risk nothing. The league is far more important than them right now. It could be a bunch of German kids versus our kids. And again, it could be like as exhibition as the Audi Cup final was, to be honest. Maybe even more so.
This could be really fun to watch.
It could be very interesting, yeah.
For both sides.
There's very little pressure. So you could see like a 3-5 score again, because there's very little pressure for
anyone. Since I told Anthony not to do the preview because he was going to Vegas yesterday, I did not realize this. They're actually seventh in the table.
Yeah.
And
they just lost the weekend, I think.
They are 7 points behind Borussia Mönchengladbach. I'm flabbergasted at that, and I'll go back. They lost on Saturday to Mönchengladbach 2-1, and they had a red card. And they also lost to Bayer Leverkusen, the pill men, as I like to call them.
Yeah.
But,
Sun's former employers.
Yes. But I don't know what else is there to say because there's a lot of unknowns for both sides. They're seventh in the league, so their first place is set in stone. I don't know. Anybody have anything else before we dive into predictions?
Let's go with predictions. Unless y'all got something?
Okay, because I'm even unsure about predictions of all, but who's
into the unknown?
Who's daring to go first?
I'll go first.
Sure.
Because I'm going to just predict some ridiculous shit. We're going to win 5-4 in just an absolute shootout.
Well, I'm going to go on better than that. We're going to win 7-2.
Actually, before we get to your scores, Kevin, since you went first, what are your scores?
I have to pick five of them.
Yes.
Of a bunch of players we have no idea who's going to play.
No idea who's going to play.
Parrot. 3. Hat trick in his Champions League debut. After that, I don't know. Eriksen will probably get one because he's going to play.
He's the best player on the team by default.
Yeah. And so that's 4. I need one more. Somebody. We'll go. I don't know who's going to play. This is really hard. Lucas? He might play.
Yeah, I see that.
Sure. Oh, John, since you're predicted 7-2.
Well, 7, apart from, I would agree, Parrot hat trick, the other 4 will be as yet to be determined, as we have no idea who's going to be on the field.
Oh, look at that. See, that's smart betting right there. He's waiting for a lineup to come out. He's invested just later. Respect for that.
Okay, fair enough.
Me, I'm stupid. I'm just going to say things right now. I think we're going to lose 4-3. I think Parrot's going to get one, Eriksen's going to get one, and Danny Rose gets on the shot. So, yeah, but it's going to be wild. We're going to play Walker Peters. We're going to probably play Danny Rose left back. I'd say 4th and maybe Joffe play. Maybe one of the 3 center backs, but he did say he wanted to get the defense together and settle. So that makes me think it won't be any of the 2 that have been starting recently.
I got to edit.
All right, let's do it.
No Eriksen, Sessegnon gets.
Yeah, that's right. Sessegnon will probably play.
And well, the other thing.
So maybe it's going to be a decent enough lineup, but we're just kind of spitballing here.
Well, I'm just thinking about this. I'm going to put Lo Celso in for 2.
Okay.
So that's 5 of your
2 left. Or let me predict mine, then. You guys already stole my thunder, which is okay. I predicted 2-2. Sessegnon and Lo Celso are going to score, because I'm playing probability here, so let's roll with it.
Okay. I like it.
No,
we have a deeper team than we think of. Just in we certain just, areas, we're lacking.
Yeah, well, and we haven't seen some of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, or at least a lot of some of them. We've seen very glimpses. Little
snippets.
Yeah. Highlight right. reels, mm-hmm. basically.
John, have any other scores, or we'll just go to Wolves?
Let's just go.
With sure. Them,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so.
Ayanada.
Fair enough. Okay, so last match we're going to preview, December 5th on Sunday. Wolves.
December 5th?
15th, sorry. I wrote December 1, yeah.
Going back in time.
Yeah, it looks like a 10-15 there, but whatever. So we're playing at Wolves, a.k.a. the Monde, or how do you say it? So it's 8 a.m. local time. I couldn't find out the listings, but it looks like it's going to be on NBC Sports Gold.
No.
And 2 p.m.
No, I believe
no it's Sunday.
I believe
so
it's on NBC.
Regular or Sports? NBC, well,
NBC Sports. But
okay.
Not
it's a Sunday game. I hope we're on TV.
Well, yeah, there's like three games.
I thought there was another game at 8 o'clock.
There might be, so we might be on Gold or not. I mean, who knows?
I'll take a gander. We'll see. And then 2 p.m. UK time, I couldn't find anything that's going to be aired, whether it be on BT or Sky. But as of right now, they're sixth in the Premier League, so we're 1 point behind them.
Yeah.
I think right now that it will be a definite contrast for Bayern Munich. We'll know what team will be out there. Because we're fighting for position and it's Premier League, so any points that we can make up, yeah, that's gravy for us. But Peter had a question, our longtime listener,
yeah.
And Chicago Spurs bar goer. So
Peter H.
Go ahead.
Had a Wolves pod question. He said, "We are part of a tough end of December schedule for Wolves. Brackets. They play City and Liverpool as well. The Spurs win on Sunday could set us up nicely for our traditional Christmas run." And potentially do the opposite for them. Still lots of season left, and Chelsea looming for us, but it feels like an important swing game for what's shaping up to be a three-team battle for fourth. What are your thoughts? So a really nice way to kind of bring in a couple of talking points from our listeners, which is wonderful, because then we don't have to do it. But he makes a really good point. Not only do the Wolves have a tough lineup going, they play on Thursday as well, because they're in the Europa League.
Yeah.
So they'll have less rest than we do for this game. And it's a game they need. They're in second right now on the table for the Europa League. And I think it's Besiktas they're playing, who actually is last somehow.
Oh.
They're with Braga as well. They're in a pretty tough Europa League thing. But so they got, if they want to finish first, they need to win. So I don't think they're going to totally take it off of we are going to take off the Bayern. So I think that might put us in an advantage there. But Wolves are a very good side. Our last game we played against them, we lost at home in a game they pretty much dominated, to be fair. We had a nice Harry Kane goal, but they won that game 3-1, and they were deserved winners. And then even our game where we beat them at their place last year with a 2-1 fourth penalties, they were kind of gunning for that equalizer at the end more so than we were holding on. So this is a tough fixture. They're there. They're up ahead of us for a reason. They
they're
won at City. They're a very good side. Raul Jimenez is an excellent striker.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Jota is an excellent midfielder. They've got talent everywhere. They've got Traore, so he's a speedster that can burn us. Him versus Vertonghen is not the best matchup for Vertonghen. So there are reasons to be worried, but this is a big game that, as Peter mentions, if we want to be in that top four hunt, we really need to win this one.
Yeah. You mentioned Jimenez. He's scored 3 goals and 2 assists in his last 6. He's really come onto form from the beginning of the year when they were kind of struggling. That man just knows how to, like, he's always in the right spot. And I think he's done it to us. I mean, he does it to everybody.
Best in the United States.
Yeah.
Mexico.
And, yeah, I think this is going to be very tough, but the way we've been playing, I feel like we should win.
They have probably as much or more to fear about us than we do.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, with the way our attack has been, I just don't see them outscoring us, even if our defense is shit.
I think it could be like last year in, November?
3-2.
Yeah, where, I'm not saying Boyd is going to have a nightmare of a game, but we could. theory, we could build up that lead and like in
another 3-2 Mourinho special.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll do predictions later, of course, but I mean, this is, I think right now, Wolves' place in the table is probably going to be where they're going to be. Even though
they're sixth?
Yes. So, I mean, while they're going to be in the fight for that fourth place spot, I'm not going to say they're going to fade away, but I think they're just probably going to linger around that position of the Europa League spots. Like you're saying, like this is our it's not our game to lose, but we got to win this, even though it's away.
Be a major statement that we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah,
and we saw with like Anthony and who else asked? John Chats asked the question about our form.
Yes, away.
Away. And the kind of, we're a bit up and down to beat Wolves at Wolves would be a major statement. It was a statement for Chelsea early in the year when they went to the Molyneux and they really much, pretty much dominated that game and say, okay, this young Chelsea side is for real. I wouldn't say we're officially back, but we'd definitely be top four contenders
and this,
if we win in Wolves. And a lot of the Poch problems would be undone by getting
this
off.
And I think this definitely helps prepare us for the Christmas time congestion, because we got Chelsea, Norwich, Southampton. I forget we're playing Southampton. We're playing New Year's Day.
Norwich.
Yeah, we have a very
Brighton as well.
We're playing Boxing Day.
Aside from Brighton, Chelsea, we have a pretty good run of fixtures coming up. But just to confirm, yeah, Wolves are on 10 points in their group with Braga with 11, and they're playing Besiktas, who's in last place.
Are they playing home or away?
They are home.
Okay. Oh, okay. Because I was saying,
it'd be nice if they had to travel.
If they're playing in Istanbul, that would be off.
But it's still, it's definitely a game that, I mean, they're definitely trying to win.
Maybe Akudu can do us a favor and like take him in as his leg.
You're a very naughty boy.
I will say,
Mourinho era, we're all naughty children.
I am dropping Jimenez out of my fantasy squad this week.
That's stupid.
So
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm still not convinced.
I'm dropping him for Rashford, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what a choice.
I get it, but yeah.
So I don't have much faith that Jimenez is going to do much against us, apparently. Yeah, I mean, he's
playing well.
King Dave's been great, so.
Yeah, I think this is the Wolves game is the game that we're going to see whether or not the new team, the Mourinho team, is going to show up and play the way that he expects them to play and we expect to play. Certainly, had Poch still been in control and we were going to Wolves, I would be very nervous about that game. I think we would have, quite honestly, I don't think we would have come away with a point. But now, I think we stand a good chance of winning the game.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Since you're talking about predictions, I don't know, anybody have anything else?
It is a battle of the new Portuguese school versus the old Portuguese school. You know, Espírito Santo is the kind of up-and-coming Portuguese coach that everyone kind of wants. And Jose Mourinho's been there and done that. It is master versus apprentice, in a way, culturally, I guess. I don't know if they know each other now. You know the English media will make it like that, so I'm just giving you guys it right now. That's kind of cool. Interesting. Very Portuguese flavor to this fiction.
Okay. So, yeah.
Predictions.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
Mine would be 2-1, Kane and Son.
Not enough goals. It's got to be more goals than that for me. I'm going to stick with last week, and I'm just going to go 3-2, because why not? Three goal scorers. Dele. There's no question. Dele, Son, Harry. Why would you not pick anybody else?
Sissoko?
No, I'm not. I'm never picking him.
I should have mentioned this in the Burnley game, but shout out to Rick, though. Even though he predicted Sissoko to score in jest, like when he scored, I'm just like, Rick, you son of a bitch. I'm like, I can't. Because I'm just. The way you score, I just laugh. So
I think if you predict Sissoko and scores the goal, you should get.
I think that
I will say when was it? Yeah, it must have been last week when we talked about how many goals will Sissoko have. I said he would only have one, and he's already doubled it. So I'm an asshole.
New player Yaya Toure reincarnated. He's not dead, but
being wrong does not make you an asshole. Otherwise, we'd all be.
That's what I'm saying. Well, we kind of are. Is the next Yaya Toure, or he is him already. Mm-hmm. It's only going to be up from here, guys. Just trust
me. What are you talking about?
I'm going to be hitting 30-yard screamers. Not in this
game. No chance.
All right. My prediction.
Shoot.
We talk about this being a statement game. We talk about the last away fixture when we didn't show up. Mourinho came out and said, and the locker room was really sad. He didn't want them to be sad. He wanted them to be angry. They came out against Burnley. They played angry. Next big road test, another team that we're contending with for these top spots. I think we do it this time. I think it's a big statement. I think it's a confident win. I'm going to say 3-0. I want Dele. I want Kane. And I want Moussa Sissoko on the board again. Let's go, baby. Trending upwards.
If he does score again, I'm going to cover your bar tab.
Okay. We got to record it.
And Nate will be here with a Sissoko kid on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, as they very say, unfortunate there are no college football games after this. I just keep going.
Well, I would only cover it through the game.
Okay, yeah, cool. As they say, who needs bail when you've got Sissoko?
Well, there is Bears Packers, so.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And another, and I think Arsenal Man City is right after as well. Okay.
No. No. Arsenal Everton are the same time.
That's Man U and Everton.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
But
so that game probably
that, yeah.
So maybe that's where we go.
I don't know. We got Jose now. We have a little bit of star power. So we may get in over them. And we're both. Yeah, Everton's a fucking relegation side.
They came back and with Duncan Ferguson, which
we'll see.
I'm gonna say
he hasn't come back yet.
That was so cool. That was really cool to see Duncan Ferguson beat Chelsea first of all in a suit. Losing his absolute mind when he was a fan that got like the sweepstakes to win and be the coach for him. That was really fun to see.
It's like seeing that kid being principal for
him. It'd be like if Ryan Mason actually did get the job and then we beat like Chelsea. It would be insane. Everyone would love it. Ryan Mason would be losing his shit on the sideline. Or if Genius ended his commentating job and didn't coach this. That would never happen. I do love Genius though, as a commentator.
Yeah, he's great.
He's really good.
But
imagine if Peter Crouch.
Crouchy's manager.
There'd be so many memes about that.
Like 6'4" giant on our sideline, just like throwing people in there.
But I'll do prediction now.
Think about Peter Crouch's manager. That was so amazing.
I'm doing our predicting 3-1. And I mean, logic dictates Dele Alli, Harry Kane, and Son, but sometimes our, so I'm gonna actually hedge my bets with Kane, Son, and Moura. So
well, Moura's due.
Yeah,
he had one against them, but
so we'll see how that goes. I don't know, anybody have any final thoughts?
I feel like Lucas Moura is kind of like our Pedro in a way. He's like he's not always the flashy. He has games where he kind of goes invisible, but he's always good for a goal. He can score against anybody essentially.
He has been coming in and out of the games lately. You know, mm-hmm. There's times when you just don't even notice he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he does.
He gets goals.
In random spots, he just puts himself in the exact right position.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he, I don't know.
He's like a much better Clint Dempsey.
That's Dempsey. A weird comparison.
That is very strange.
I know it's a weird comparison, but you think about it. Like when Clint Dempsey was on our team in 2013, it was kind of like a ho-hum player, but he'd always pop up with goals. He got like 9 or 10 goals
that
season.
Like with Man U, I always remember this, but like both matches, he was positionally aware. Like he was right place at the
right time.
And I'm like, I'll gladly take that over clinical finishing. Actually, I take it back.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute.
Never being in the right place at the right time.
Always being in the wrong place. Or
sloughing it over the bar. You know, it's all.
Positional awareness is very important.
Yeah. But I guess I'll wrap things up. So. Anybody in Chicago, do come to the Atlantic Bar and Grill because they are hosting us for our recordings. But again, thank you, Kevin, for editing. Or no, for sound. Sorry. Rick for editing. Anthony for our production notes. Charlie for music. Kevin again for social media.
Anthony didn't bring us any production notes.
No, I have it right here.
Oh. Well, he didn't print them out for us. Thanks, Anthony.
He's not here. How can he print them out?
Yeah, I work from home, so. But myself for back page update, Catherine for ladies Spurs, Spurs women, Kimberly for the logo, and as I said earlier, Atlantic Bar and Grill for the use of recording space. One final plug that I want to make, go to our Big Heads Media website because there is merchandise. So if you have a fan of the show or you want to buy it for yourself, buy it in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
So hoodies and t-shirts, I think.
Hoodies, I think there's scarves.
I know Shubes was upset because it's not a zip-up hoodie. We're sorry, Shubes.
I think there's stickers, maybe cards. I don't know. There's a bunch of random stuff on there. I think you guys will like it.
When are we getting our breakfast soon?
We're a long way from breakfast soon.
Well, we got to talk to Budio. It's we'll replace them. But as usual, hit the...
You don't want Tommy Fonflakes?
No. No. As usual, hit the subscribe button. Write us a review on iTunes if you like our podcast. Or if you go Podcast Addict, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, or as Nate does, he goes to Google Podcasts.
Yeah.
Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at Four Star Spurs, and of course our website at fourstarspurs.com because Rick actually uploads his Rick rants on there, so we actually have some content.
Getting more content on there.
Yes.
We're
so
trying to be professional,
and we're getting some traffic, so
we get that record soon.
One of these days, Alice. One of these days. But as usual, come on, you Spurs.
Look out for conflicts.
On Is It Philosophy, we are not going to explore the philosophers of times long forgotten. We're not going to ponder Plato or Socrates. There's so many podcasts out there for that, if that's what you're seeking. This is something different. A place where all ideas are welcome. An open forum to talk about anything and everything. We take an idea and work to find an answer. It may not be the most insightful. Hell, it may not even be an answer at all. So come and listen with an open mind. Who knows, you may like what we have to say. If not, at least we've given you something to think about. So come and enjoy and ask yourself, is it philosophy?